It's been somewhat. Old, these days, it's sort of a fashion of breath, ice cream. This room is, coming as a bedrock, bedrock to heartland, as we call it, American heartland, just all over the world, not just around the world. That you have such a strong beat to the bedroom, to the bedroom, what it stands for. All this, I appreciate. That's a part of the fact that he has immediate problems, great concern. I'm trying to say, I'm not showing this, that this great segment of agriculture is an enormously effective job.
Yes. This productivity, the quality of its product,
et cetera, for American consumers, and for that matter. But beyond that, this group also has left jobs far, way far beyond it. So, those things just aren't deeply needed in this country today. And you may think perhaps relatively small group. I just want you to know that in this office, that kind of commitment, that kind of support, above partisanship, is something that I'm deeply grateful for. Now, with regard to another thing, I missed your meeting in Chicago, but if you were even aware, that next year may be a message, but I want you to know that I talked to our vice president of the
last year was up a little, per capita consumption down a bit, and the
we dare raise prices, which eventually results in some increase in retail level, maybe not immediately, because they're drafted at market price above sports now. There is a point in the agricultural commodities where we don't control supply, where you can push over the hill, where total returns start reducing, you push the price up. And no one can prove whether we're at that point or not. It's a matter of judgment. And I think that's where our difference is. But Tom, we have talked to these men, this is a time when I think we have to be stable. We have to look at what's best for the man that's pulling the tips out on the farm. I can use that old expression, the machines.
Costs of the government of
of 30 to 35 million dollars. So the original thing that we like to use on is that if you take 20% of a half million, you've got $100 million. And so in that view, we think that the cost of government would be actually no cost and a gain. Another thing that is of concern to us and your friends is that the timeliness of the action. We all know that sometimes if action is delayed, it's not appreciated as it would be if it's taken in a timely manner. And that pretty well sums the thing up as concisely as I know how, insofar as our position.
Let me get this. This is the real point. The real point is, some people would say that the raising the thing to 85 is wrong.
Yes.
The question is high level of the year. Now, does anybody have any other view on this? This is the analyst view. I got some concern that's been expressed as to whether or not if you go with it, you enjoy the 85, and the major guesses in the budget probably were dollars, and they're hard, but yes, it doesn't. But the main point is, what is it going to do in terms of encouraging an overproduction? Isn't that really what you're talking about? And that reduces the But Bill, you want to say that?
The taxes show, of course, Harold knows these things, and I think most of the rest of them do around the table. And this is a great concern to us. Harold, because given the early years of the sector cuts and the price was raised, and it had to be reduced. It was reduced because of a big increase in production by about 5 billion pounds, and the price was reduced from $3.85 on it. In 1952-3, down to $3.15 in 1954-5, which was a 70% reduction. Same thing happened again, and when Secretary Freeman came in, 8 years later, the price was raised up to a high of $3.40 in 1961-62. The production was at a very high of 126 billion pounds, and then the support price had to be dropped back to a low of $3.11, which was dropped to 29 cents a month. So now this is the past history. This is what we look at. If we knew, we wouldn't stimulate milk flow, and it wouldn't go on back up to 120, 22, 23, 24 billion pounds. I don't think anybody would have any argument as to what would occur. But and we don't know, and we frankly don't think you people know either.
Still
promotional legislation, which permits money to be spent for certain types of promotion, which your administration also enthusiastically supported. In fact, so far, except for last week or two, there's been almost nothing that dairy industry has wanted that this administration has not been very enthusiastically for. The combination of those factors plus the turnaround the last two quarters for last year, putting the two together, the dairy industry is doing a more effective job than it's ever done before in controlling production. And I suppose as a lawyer and sitting in the Attorney General's seat, I have to say Secretary Campbell is right to this extent. There's nobody that can absolutely swear in a stack of Bibles and absolutely guarantee that this turnaround might not be permanent. Because they don't know where I lose it, for sure. Yes, but President Oz are.
By the way, the next version, the weather will be announced. The weather is not. That's the great fact. It will not stimulate total overproduction. It's just temporary.
But the analysis being made, the same people who've been right now, 7 years in a row, indicating that this is not a turnaround. That's their projections. And we have it right. And we think that's the Indian track record. A turnaround, and as the Secretary Campbell pointed out, that there has been a turnaround in total consumption. I mean, there has been a change to the better.
Yeah,
so there is, I don't say that's a turnaround either, far more consumption, sir. And as Mr. Harrison pointed out, we do have the means now to do more about controlling consumption and production with this state plan legislation and this promotion legislation over the state area of this organization. We have voluntarily in both state plans, which have demonstrated the ability to tailor production to the consumer's needs. Now this new legislation we deal with these other areas, so we have that going for us that we haven't had before. We have one additional item, which is very close to the Secretary's heart, I'll use a better term, which we discussed at the end of that, is this promotion legislation. This group has demonstrated this, she says, 8,000 dairy farmers representing 30,000 pounds of milk. It's willingness to spend money for promotion, and are now embarked on a program of developing a promotional and marketing program that are tied together, which is the first time this has ever happened. But if we're going to take the money to do this, we've got to get it at the time when we're at least holding our own and not in the time of falling majority mind.
Right. You know, one thing about that, I just looked at what you guys is that medical profession don't really know much about cholesterol. They could be a little more cooperative in talking about it. If you actually last a month and have a heart attack, well, I can do a lot of other things. I'm going to give you one or two blocks later. Who's got to drink a lot of milk? What was the medical profession doing in that respect? The rest probably goes up and down. You know, no age, no hospital, no blood. They're not sure.
Yes,
we're
can do the bill. Any kind of thing, just a glass of milk.
You don't have to talk with it or anything like that.
It could be warm, it could be tepid, or it could be cold, something to, but it has a certain soothing effect. And you could just start it over.
Well, that's enough.
High marketing picture. I already got that. But let me tell you that the sleep problem is, of course, it's an American psychosis at the moment, and all the advanced societies, 4 billion of the American people and adults at this time, take some form of sedative. Now, here's the mouth. It's going to work all the time. Sometimes you're just going to have so many problems, you're not going to sleep. But it's all psychological, too, because people think that a glass of milk can make them sleep. I mean, it reduces as well as a sleeping time. It's all in it.
Mr. President, speaking as a dairy farmer, the difference in this $4.66 and the $5 is just about your breaking point as to whether the average dairy farmer in Oklahoma makes it or doesn't make it. I believe that I'm as familiar with dairy operations as anybody in the state of Oklahoma. In fact, all of the farm programs that we've had over all these years. But we're a unique bunch of people, dairy farmers are. We started out back when we just used 10-gallon cans of an old cooler and get by. Mr. President, that doesn't exist today. The inspectors say you have to have tile walls, you got to have the latest equipment. You're talking about, in our loan corporation, was looking the other day, our average size loan to dairy farmers today is about $39,000 loan for those people.
Right, where is that? The loan corporation's loan out of my
loan to those firewalls. And Mr. President, I'm really conscious of this thing because I'm the fellow that approves those loans. And I can see this gradually growing. And I can see that Mr. Secretary is following here. If you give us another dime with it, cost this might make the same money. But we have dairy farmers that has to make X amount of dollars, and if he gets a higher price, he'll make those dollars, or if he doesn't get a higher price, he's going to put you enough milk out there to get them anyway. So it has both ways. I can see his point, but if he's got to have so many dollars and it takes more pounds to get it, well, he's going to produce those pounds, Mr. President. And that
is on a short amount basis.
Right. But I'm talking from a, you've heard these professional people, but I'm talking a dairy farmer, because that's exactly what I am.
Would you say you would not milk any more cows than necessary? In other words, you don't milk an extra cow just because you like to?
You're not looking for a job.
Right. I think that's the point.
What it costs.
Yeah. Make it again. You mean that the... I think the whole point of this is that during the cause of inflation, necessity of a certain return of income, he's looking for so much. He's not milking gross. He's not milking additional head of the cow just because he has a love for the dairy cow.
Okay.
Although he does have a love.
So are you suggesting that a raise in the price in the support is not going to be necessary?
I don't think it'll be necessary to increase the man's judgment.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But
the reason why what we're going to get down to versus the psychology.
We're stuck over for him, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Shell has. If we do it, we're going to do it.
We're closer to it than we are.
Shell company is to eliminate the, our dogmatic type of position of fighting one another.
That seems.
And they got work program, we want to get precision, so we run off and step down.
So work program.
We're just, you see our eye, but we can reach out there and get it now, as we talked about before. And, so we get all these organizations together, and here we are, and cost is still going up, and all of a sudden our starts, because these people start looking at us and say, well, what happened to you? What happened? And then we're in our organization structure, we can get all, can keep on moving towards it, see, by consolidating, getting ourselves, literally an inefficient plan, like we're doing right now. And we're throwing aside.
Right. And you say eliminate your, talking about who comes to do that. Well, see, that, how you can, you, your members do that, or you know, can't talk about it.
No plan, say, in Minnesota, you got one every 7 miles.
Grade 8 pounds in the Southeast.
think it's present in the airport. We're talking about today, you have to do something next year.
Thank you, Derek. Take care of my city, we can take care of your city, place decision.
We have to put space plans in to take care of this self-help.
Mr. President, we have the Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and part of New Mexico, based in now is controlling that transaction in Kansas, that's controlling that part of it. But it's doing an excellent job, and that's the point that we are getting over. When we get over this hump, that's exactly what we don't want to end up. We want to control exactly what the consumer needs, and that's all.
I think everybody in the industry is utterly impossible to think the production would turn around so dramatically as to be a promised land next year.
Let me ask you, the problem to create, I understand, just to leave them next year. I wondered what process there was available. You really mean that your organization, you were so well organized that you think you might be able to
Oh, I understand. under Shakespeare, joining that type of sources. So they're going to have to make a decision with either these 10 cow, 15 cow operations. So whether they're going to be airmen or not, when these standards are imposed, and then they're going to get out. They're going to say, my age is such, the average age is about 56. He's just going to get out of this. Chris Bennett, it's just like a real catch. You asked the question, do we have the organization put base plans in? The big challenge here is, if you challenge us, you say, yes, we reconsider this idea of the priors, and at the same time, they can sold the production, but we don't want to talk about the commission 10-2. The answer is unqualified, yes, we were adhering immediately with the cooperation of the administration, and we have put in a base plan from the Canadian border that's up Texas, or went out to the better part of the country, plus the southeast, that we got the capability of doing.
As has been, Mr. President, I want to repeat that we demonstrated our ability to do this in 6 days plus the state that he just referred to. And you may want to roll out to tell farmers on this idea, number one, because it works in their best interest. But number two, this base immediately becomes worth money to them, the base that they hold. They increase their capital worth.
There's a little bit of trouble there. It's really valued by government orders.
Well, in a sense. If I'm not, but well, you may say that, but of course we have, you know, in these states you're talking about now, without government orders, within regulated areas where the government where you have federal orders.
Yeah, we do have some protection in the law.
Yeah. Yes, you might get it. Right. Yes, there's a, so I really don't do that, Scott. I say this to you, you know, we think that we represent a rather significant geographical area where there's spatial issues among area producers to put in these base planters. And one of the things that you mentioned, Land O'Lakes, that's not a farmer-controlled organization, but I think they'd have to follow us on this. We really got to in this space.
Mr. President, I'd like to make a point, I think, as I mentioned here, in regards to the relationship of the 50s and the American Defense Administration and the situation then as compared to today. At that time, there was quite a potential of milk in the country that wasn't being marketed. And that potential is almost nil today, so that the price structure will not have the same reflection as it did at that time, because there was a lot of non-market milk that came to market with that price situation at that time. And the cow numbers today are the lowest in almost a century. And you want to move that production up,
take cows. And you want to avoid that if you go back with the 2 year old members of the kids or not.
There, that's right. The
about this is going into the dairy business. Probably an operation is it's a high capital item necessary. But these dairy farmers talk that Mr. Powell, what about that?
Mr. President, it's a very expensive business to get into anymore.
In other words, if somebody's gonna turn it, well, you got people in the business. The question is what can they do to run it? The question is what about somebody going into the business? What does it cost? $100,000
It's not a mobility. It takes more than $100,000.
It's not a business that can be expensive, particularly by new people coming in.
Not the area.
There are none. They make it here every year. These farmers are expensive. Back in the 50s, when the farms were expensive, it was only for a man with a few cows and you get a clearing one business. This no longer exists. And you say it costs us $500, you don't want to give it
up. Well, to make your credit, probably it's
that direction. Mr. President, there's one more point that I would like to bring out. And in practice, what you said at the very beginning, you would change the room. And that is the philosophy of living in our rural communities. Basically, Mr. President, I'm from Iowa. And since you've had a long road, you see farmstead after farmstead empty, following the disrepair at the HJD times. And the exodus in the farms there has been to the urban areas. We want to, not through subsidies or anything else, but eventually with our own self-help, to preserve this way of life out there, because this is really where the, as you said, the rock rib heritage, the religious heritage, is there. And I live in that country, and I love it, and I wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
we want to preserve it. And we need this help to preserve it. This is a very, very important thing.
I want to preserve the veterans. Not only important economically, but that's important. It's not more important spiritually.
Right.
Or spiritually in the broadest sense. And not mean by that, cities are all their own, people, places, they are not. But I do mean, show me a country that is rural heartland. Sometimes, inevitably, it almost always follows a religious character.
Girl, you should have known it that Monday. We're